Thanks for listening to The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac, on demand, brought to you by SEL Mortgage, the leaders in Colorado of special circumstance lending, helping everyone, including people with unusual financing needs. Locally owned and operated, visit myspecialmortgage.com. That's myspecialmortgage.com.
104.3 The Fan presents Big Al and D-Mac with a big story of the day.
And we are underway, kind of, with training camp 2018. I saw the gargantuan crowd in Brighton for Mike and Mark's show and the final Chub 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 shirts, and just incredible. I saw pictures and social media of people lining up like at 4 o'clock in the morning for that, and that is awesome. So thank you to the folks of Brighton and the northern part. We had kind of a weird thing the other day. We had some crazy weather, lightning, all sorts of stuff, and it kind of impacted our signal up north a little bit, and we're working to get that fixed as quickly as possible. It may already be fixed, but, you know, Al, I just want to, just for a second, acknowledge the just tremendous listeners we have in the northern part of, you know, north of Denver. You know, sometimes we get a little south-centric here because we're down in the tech center, but oh, man, the listeners and the fans up north are just absolutely awesome. Love them. Love them. They turn out for everything. It's awesome.
You know, when you live in that region right there, and I did, you know, you just find a lot of good, hardworking folks who just are big Bronco fans. And,
yeah,
of course, we will appreciate them rolling with us every day, as we do all the guys that are rolling with us. But every time we show up north, it is 100% packed.
It's all packed. I mean,
it has never been less than 100%. So, yes, thank you so much. And once again, sorry about the technical difficulty early on in the week when the hailstorms were kind of just ruining everything for everybody.
Yeah. Well, where do you want to start? The barbecue, so much stuff going on.
Delicious.
We heard from, yes, it was delicious.
Delicious.
Well, I don't know. You know, to all Big Sexy, you tell me. Because you're you and Al are the food aficionados around here.
Did they cook especially the barbecue themselves? They
usually do, huh? It was Yazoo's. Right over there on Arapahoe Road. And it was great.
Yazoo's. I'm not familiar with Yazoo's.
You've never been to Yazoo's?
It tasted delicious to me.
Right. It's a husband and wife team right there in the barbecue, I mean, in the plaza right there by the Vitamin College, I believe. Right there.
Yazoo's. Is that right?
Yeah, right next to the Home Depot, JD's bait shop right there.
Did they move across the street? No, it's on the other side.
No, he told me it was right in the JD's bait shop player area, right where I'm
at. Oh, maybe JD's bait shop moved across the street.
Yeah, so how would you evaluate the barbecue today, Big Sexy?
It was great. Yeah. I'll go and check him out. I'd never heard of him before. So
okay.
He did a good job.
You have the dinner rolls. Did you have any of those? No.
Nope. We had some chicken. We had some pulled pork.
They do a good job.
Beef.
They do a good job.
Macaroni and cheese, coleslaw.
You know what I mean, man.
Green beans.
If you're telling me you're selling barbecue, I've probably eaten at your restaurant.
I went back for thirds.
You went back for thirds.
I did. Right before Elway came up, they're like, "Hey guys, Elway's coming down," and I look and see he's on the field. I ran over and got another slider.
Well, good for you. All right. Jump. Yeah, there you go. Jeez, where do you even want to start here? You want to start with Elway, VJ, Joe Ellis, Demaryius Thomas, Harris?
I'd like to start with Joe Ellis because
start with Joe Ellis.
It was
Ellis.
It sounded like it was definitive that Beth Bowling will not have a part in this ownership. He sounded very upset and disappointed with her early press release, and so much so that all he did is reference the fact that he answered those questions about Beth Bowling some time ago, and he doesn't want to rehash those comments.
But when you
start talking about the other kids that are a probability of ownership is a lot higher. You
know? All right, well, let's start with Brittany Bowling. Well, it's just two.
Well, technically there are more than two, but
there
I think
only
we
two
profile
we're talking about today.
Yeah, I mean profiling the ones that are the best candidates.
Well, here's There are only two talked about today, like Brian said. Here's about Brittany.
Yeah, she's expressed an interest to us. I will say that. And, you know, she's taken some steps, some good steps along the way in terms of education. Just finished up her MBA at Duke's Fuqua School of Business. Is headed to work for one of the world's, frankly, leading consulting companies, McKinsey & Company, where, you know, we talked it through. She's going to get some incredible business experience there, from strategic management to marketing, finance, overall management perspective when they work on case studies and stuff. So she's excited about that. She starts that up pretty soon. And we'll see where it goes from there. We're not anointing anybody or anything like that, but she certainly has expressed an interest, and she knows it's going to take some time for her to get ready. She's not ready yet. She's admitted that to us, obviously, so we'll see where it goes, but she has expressed an interest.
Okay.
Sounded glowing. It sounded like he was advising her on how to go about handling her business.
Yeah, long answer. Yeah, really, yeah. First time that
you can hear the affection that is in his voice for Brittany. So,
all right, and here's a response to Beth Bolin.
We addressed a press release that she issued in a form of our own release from the trustees and a statement from me on behalf of the Broncos, and that's just going to speak for itself. That's all I really want to say on that at this time.
Boom. He should have dropped the mic and just walked out. He should have just really dropped the mic and, you know, did the worm out of the press conference.
Well,
what is wrong with me today?
That's clearly, it's not very debatable.
Yeah, baby, we ain't playing that game. We're not going to play that game.
So, Brittany, it's Duke, it's an incredible thing,
right.
It's that, and she's expressing. With Beth, it's like, you saw the press release, next question. Meanwhile, he talks about this checklist thing.
Well, I just said, you know, what I just said, Ryan, and it's probably as much as I will say, because I don't want to get down too deep on it, but I mentioned her education and her work experience, and, you know, there's some general qualities and things that we'll look at. There's no checklist per se, but comes down to some areas of education, experience in the workplace, judgment, integrity, leadership capabilities, earning the respect of people in the organization, lots of things like that. And so we'll see. You know, she's worked here a little bit, but she hasn't been here much as an employee. She will come back someday, I'm assuming. So we'll see where it goes from there.
That's, again, more talk about Brittany. Beth, it's like, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord splits you. And, you know, that sort of thing. And Vlad, last thing on it, the timetable.
Well, from my standpoint, I think it should be as soon as we can. You know, we take this charge very seriously. And we're not going to rush into it. The league has acknowledged that we've kept in compliance. We've kept them informed. And they're allowing us to proceed with Pat's plan as he wanted it. But I don't have a specific timetable for that right now. I do think it'll be a good thing when an owner is named, whether it's a child, or if some child was not, you know, was not deemed capable, or no child was deemed capable, then there would be an owner. I do think that's, you know, something that needs to happen for sure, obviously. But I have no specific timetable other than a sense that I'd like to see it move along as quickly as we can move it along.
Now, you got to listen to that carefully, everybody. You hear what he just said? You got to really listen there.
No timetable.
Right. And but not so much that, but if no child is deemed
appropriate,
we're going to sell this team.
Right.
Okay? You just heard it. You had to listen kind of carefully there. But
I don't think it was hidden or anything. I just think that.
But he didn't say so. He said, you know.
I mean, but
he said it without saying.
It's been spelled out over and over again. It's not like it's new.
Well, let's think about it. Obviously, they don't want to give the keys of the car to Beth. I mean, that is beyond obvious.
She's probably the last option, if there was a last option.
They obviously like Brittany very much. That's obvious too.
And it's going to take her some time.
She's only 28 years old. But another possibility is selling the team. I mean, Joe just said it. So, just a heads up that that is a possibility. It's been said out loud in public. And we'll see where it goes. But, so there is a distinct, it is kind of a weird situation now. Because if it gets passed down to the Bolin family, well, it could stay in the Bolin family for the next, I don't know, 50 to 100 years, right? I mean, theoretically. You know, if they can organize themselves and there's a succession plan that they lay out, it could happen. Or it could be out of their hands the next 2 or 3 years. Broncos could just
simply be out of their hands in a month.
It could be out of their hands in a month. Does it matter? John Elway was asked about it, and, you know, he said that it's not a big deal. That I'm trying to find it here. Here we go. John Elway on this situation.
Well, and I will say this. I have a great respect for the Bolins, and you know, they've been, you know, part of my life since I've been here. So, and as well as Joe, and Joe's been in and out. But I work for Joe, and I will tell you this. I've got no worries about what's going on with ownership. I've got zero, and I don't know, and it's not going to affect our football team, and that will get handled. And, you know, Mr. Bolin put a plan in place and wanted the trust to execute it. So in my opinion, I've got total confidence in the fact that that's going to happen the way that Mr. B wanted it to happen, and the people on the trust know Mr. Bolin very well and what he wanted. And so I will just tell you, I've got zero heartburn when it comes down to what's going on with the ownership. And because it's not going to affect what we do on the field. And I also know that whatever happens there, they're also always going to put the football team first, because that's what Mr. Bolin wanted and would want. And so, therefore, I've got no worries about what's going on in ownership. And, you know, they've been very supportive. Joe has been tremendous to me in my position, and the support that they've given us to be able to try to put the best football team on the field has been tremendous. And so that's why I don't worry about ownership at all. I mean, I really don't. And I think that, you know, the plan that is in place will get executed, and it will work out the way it's meant to work out.
Well, that's fine, but that's not actually the question that John was actually asked, Al. He was actually asked by Nikki, why did you weigh in on this over the summer on Twitter? She didn't ask, you know, how do you feel about it? She asked why you did. So John took that as an opportunity just to sort of try to, you know, stabilize things.
What did he say on Twitter?
John, because there was that crazy back and forth that one particular day between Beth and Joe, and John Elway weighed in more or less supporting Joe, you know, where nobody really asked John to weigh in one way or the other. He didn't have to, but, you know, he supported the current, you know, setup the way it's going. So it's clear him and Joe Ellis, they seem to be on the same page. You know, it's a weird situation because it's really got nothing to do with Elway. This is... John's not in charge of the business operation of the Broncos. He's in charge of the football operation. So whether, you know, how he feels about it technically doesn't matter. But it's an interesting situation. So let me ask you this. Does it matter? Does ownership, Al, in this situation matter to what happens on the field? This year.
No, I don't believe so. Because there is a clear path to success here, and if it's not met, they will try to find their way again. So I do believe that ownership has nothing to do with the overall outlook about what the team is trying to accomplish, because they're going to be aggressive. They're going to try to make every move to benefit the team, and Joe Ellis seems like he's comfortable, and it seems that he knows that he's in control of this situation, and he can deem fit whoever he wants. So if I'm Joe Ellis, you know, I don't think there's a better spot for a guy who's actually not the owner than the spot that he's in right now. He is a pseudo owner of the Denver Broncos. Now, I know that's, you know, only in management only, but he gets to say, do we sell it or do we keep it? Do you get it or do we give it to somebody else? Pretty powerful position him and the committee has.
No doubt. I would say after today and just trying to take it all in, I'd have to say the odds of selling the team are a little bit high.
I'm going to say it's not high.
Well, I think it's higher than passing it down.
Because I think it's higher because he said that it's going to take some. He sounded like he was really supportive of Brittany, and he knew what she was doing and almost giving advice about how to do it. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, when you have that kind of mentorship role, then certainly you have a chance to be considered. And
yeah, but she's 28 years old and hasn't even started her consulting job with McKinsey.
Not yet, but, I mean, that doesn't mean that she won't be in this process for a couple, 3 years. And, you know, maybe we're looking at a situation like in 4 years from now. I don't think it's going to be nothing that pushes Joe Ellis or that committee to make a decision no time soon. Like Joe said today, he's 61 years old. And
all right, I'll give you this. I think in that four-year time period makes sense because how old's Joe? What do you say
61.
He is?
61.
61. Puts him around 65. Puts Elway at the end of his contract. Puts Brittany at 33. Still really young to own an NFL team, that's for sure. So I can roll with you on that, that may be what we're looking at. That may be the plan, unless things get stirred up in another way. But I would say that could also be a plan when the team gets sold. That could be part of the plan, too. I mean, why wouldn't John Elway want to be part of an ownership group? But then again, why wouldn't Peyton Manning want to be
part of you?
I know why I don't want to be, but
you don't. You don't want to be involved.
I don't have that type of capital.
No, I didn't say whether or not you had the capital. Do you want a guaranteed revenue stream every single year?
I mean, you know, if I could be part of something like that, if I had the money, it would be a blast. But I just don't. Do you?
Do I want to? Yeah, absolutely. I want to be part of a guaranteed revenue stream.
Maybe you're buying the team then, or maybe you're part of a larger group. Maybe there's a bunch of partners that go in and on buying the Broncos. Who knows, right? I mean, hardly anybody buys a pro sports team just by themselves. You know, usually people have it's some sort of group effort, correct? Very rarely is it just one person.
Well, I mean, it's usually one guy that heads it.
That's right.
And he brings along a few guys that understand the NFL process as part of the management/ownership team. And They move around, but basically there's somebody who owns 51%.
If you had a bet today, outside owner or Bolin family, what would you vote? Today, what would you vote?
Bolin.
And I'd vote outside owner. We'll see. Okay, naming rights, as long as we're staying in the business department, right? Here's that topic.
Yeah, it's like Groundhog Day, isn't it? You asked this question the last 3 years. Yeah, it has taken a little bit longer, but the longer it takes in seeing the landscape and in talking to people, the more patient I've become, which sounds kind of quirky, I understand. But it's very important that we get the right partner. It's very important that we do a deal for the long-term viability of the building. I wouldn't want to see the next owner of this team several years down the road faced with the challenge of trying to build a new stadium. And we've got to try and sustain. It's a great stadium we play in. And we've got to try and sustain it, keep it modernized. And a naming rights deal is a small part, but an important part of doing that, given the funding that we'll get. It's going to take a lot of funding to keep it up, to improve it, to modernize it. And you got to get the right partner. We've talked to a lot of people that we, you know, thought might be good, it might be close, but then, you know, not sure they would have been viable in the long run. We're still having conversations. I'm optimistic we will get a deal. I'm not putting a timetable on it, but I am optimistic that we'll get a deal. And for now, we have the placeholder name, and someday, you know, it'll be something else at Mile High.
It was interesting just to hear the possibility that the next owner would possibly have to build a new stadium.
Well, Joe Ellis has been very honest about the naming rights for the stadium because of the tremendous upkeep that money was basically used to reinvest it back into the stadium because you don't want another ballot initiative of, you know, $1 billion to build a new stadium when the stadium is, you know, does not feel like it's that old.
20 years.
20 years is not a long time for a stadium, man.
It's gone quick, though. It's probably one of the older, newer stadiums. if that makes sense.
To somebody, it does. To me, it doesn't.
They're in a tough spot.
Yeah,
because it's unlikely they would have built a stadium like that if they had to do it all over again.
No, they would have domed it, and of course, probably it would have been multifunctional.
Probably not even built it at that location.
No, I think the location is fine, D-Mac. I think they were short-sighted. They were short-sighted on using it as a full-use stadium.
Well, the tough part about that location, it's just very hard to develop other business down there. That's all.
Oh, I just think that, you know.
They haven't. It's been there for 20 years. What other businesses are down there?
Well, I mean, people have their own personal businesses right there. I mean, you can't.
No,
you can't,
but you know what I mean. Like,
you're trying to add commerce to an area that has commerce already. Maybe you don't like the kind of commerce that's there, but.
I'm just saying that these new stadiums, if you go around.
But it's not like that.
There's whole, like, little towns that are.
Yeah, but I mean, how many of those new stadiums are built in a downtown area?
Not many. Not many. No.
Atlanta was built in a downtown area, and it hasn't done much for that environment.
I was just out at the Braves' new ballpark, which is out in the suburbs. It's incredible. And they have built, in the suburbs, an entire town around it. It's crazy. It's a destination location, even if the Braves aren't playing.
Right. I mean, the Cardinals have done that.
Nobody goes down to Mile High.
The 49ers just opened a stadium up 2 years ago.
Yeah, that's an interesting location. That's in a weird location.
And certainly there is no, they didn't drive commerce.
They did not, no.
Did you see some of the names?
I am amazed that the Niners did what they did and built that in Santa Clara like
that.
Did
you see some of the names, though, that were surrounding the stadium as you pulled up? Google, Yahoo, you name it. If it was Microsoft, if there was a big tech company.
But that being said,
it was also, you know, their parking lots, and, you know, so much so that, you know, like I remember in particular, Google had an area there and it said no 49er parking. You know what I'm saying? Because they really are a much bigger entity than the 49ers. But yeah, all of those companies around there, and the 49ers chose to put that stadium in the worst possible place. Because
maybe, but there was already a lot of established hotels and businesses.
Not good, though.
And
it's not good for the fan base.
Nearby.
Not good for the fan base.
Well, it's not good for the fan base in San Francisco because it's so far away. But for fans in Santa Clara, San Jose, Palo Alto,
did you
it's
see
fantastic.
What they were trying to do? They were trying to rally fans to start coming back to game and supporting the 49ers. Even before this Colin Kaepernick issue was out there, you know, it was just. Nobody wanted to go to the stadium. First of all, that, you know, it's, I think they have the most luxury boxes in all of percentage wise of any NFL team. And the stadium, you know, they were asking, what's the most important thing for you to come to the game? Is it seeing a nostalgic 49er base up and around the facility or winning? What a dumb question. It's all, winning takes care of everything.
Well, it's really not the San Francisco 49ers. What it really is,
Bay Area 49ers.
That's right. So it's the name of the team is just a little
off putting. Candlestick was, right off was San Francisco proper. This is not,
No, not at all.
We don't, maybe it can work, but, we talked about this maybe, about a year and a half ago, that the right place for the stadium is probably somewhere out near DIA and build one of those fake towns around it.
Probably, but that is such a large investment. And when Joe says, I don't want to, more or less burden the new owner with that, I get it. It's just that. Hindsight's being so 2020. They got to do the best they can with what they got. And, if Joe's really only in this for the next 4 or 5 years, whatever it is, to get going with a new stadium seems preposterous. So we'll see. He's being patient with the naming rights. So you may see Broncos Field a Mile High. You may just see that sign out there for a little bit and just ride that wave and be patient with it. So that's the business side of things. There's plenty of other things to talk about in terms of what's happening on the field. And VJ, VJ read an interesting book this summer. We'll get to that with the Big Three next.
Sandy Clef here to tell you about SCL Mortgage Special Circumstance Lending, locally owned and operated. And if you're self-employed or work on commission, this is the place for you. Bank statement loans are back. You don't need tax returns to do your loan. In some cases, the bank statement loans can be done with credit scores in the low 600s. MySpecialMortgage.com on the web, 303-790-2222, the phone number. SCL Mortgage, licensed by the Colorado Department of Regulatory Agencies, number 1200716.
It's Big Al and D-Mac with the Big Three, presented by Sam's Number 3 Diner and Bar.
I had a an interest, well, I think it was interesting, a question for VJ earlier today. I asked him about the virtual reality, Al, and he said, nope, not happening. I asked about it because Case Keenum has said in the past how important it was to him, but just not really part of the Broncos' plans right now. We'll see. You inspired me because you talked about CU establishing something that you saw, but the Broncos right now just don't have anything. But I also asked VJ, you know, what did you look at for a sense of inspiration during the offseason? Did you read a book? Did you take a trip? That sort of thing. And this is what he said.
Sorry, it's a quick no. But every summer, D-Mac, you know, I read a lot of books, you know, just trying to research different coaching philosophies and different ways of doing things, you know. Again, guys, you know, in this job, you're always trying to get better, you know, each summer. You know, I read a nice book this summer I called Why We Win, and it's a book that's written by a guy that interviewed, I think, 14, you know, 14 coaches that won a lot of games. This is a simple read. It's about how you develop teams and chemistry and culture and those things. So, you know, if you're not trying to get better, you're getting worse. So I spend my summers, you know, doing those things and trying to have the message right for our football team. And that comes from research and reading all summer.
Well, I think that's great. You know, a lot of great leaders, Al, read and get inspired by other great leaders. Happens all the time. It's probably a good habit of successful people. Why We Win, Al, it's Billy Packer, who went around and interviewed a bunch of incredible coaches. Red Auerbach, John Wooden, Eric Parseghian, Bobby Knight, Joe Gibbs, Pat Summitt, Chuck Knoll, Tommy Lasorda, Mike Krzyzewski, Sparky Anderson, Dan Gable, Bill Walsh, Lenny Wilkins, Joe Paterno, and Dean Smith. Oh my gosh, that's a pretty cool book, right? You would think. I haven't read it myself, but I like that Vance has spent some time studying other tremendous coaches.
I think that when you are in it, I mean really in it, when you are committed and you really care about your job, those are the type of things that you do. And no matter what kind of work that you do out there, if you really love it and you want to be well prepared, that's how you do it. So I don't know if there's any job now that takes us from our normal working hours from that time to the end of the day or whatever time your day starts or stop and say that's it. With technology today and so much information, if you're not consistently reading about your field of work or the type of people that are working within your industry, then you're really not into it. And I'm glad to hear that VJ, like many people that I know, are really into what they are doing.
Bongos.
Three!
Jason Verrett. Sorry to hear it, bro. Jason Verrett was a Pro Bowl player in 2015. This kid was drafted in the first round by the Chargers. Now, he was in a conditioning test, and today tore his Achilles. Man, this guy's had injury history, D-Mac, that dates back to 2014. 2016, 2017, and this year he's out for the season. I think he has missed 55 of the 80 possible games that he could have played in. I feel badly for him because he was a really good player, and we may never get a chance to see that kind of talent from him again. It's going to take a long time, and I don't know who gambles on a guy who has a torn Achilles who plays cornerback in this business.
You think it might be a wrap?
That may be a wrap.
It's unfortunate because he heard it during the conditioning test. Yeah. I mean, what are you supposed to do? I mean, literally every single team does some form of conditioning test, Al. I mean, everybody does that.
He's the defensive version of Sam Bradford. Just always hurt and never dependable, and his body has let him down like it has so many other athletes out there. But this kid was a good football player. That's going to hurt the Chargers.
Okay, bongos.
Three!
Chris Harris today said everybody on the Broncos is on the same page with the anthem, and that there was not a plan for people to be staying in the locker room, that sort of thing. How much of an issue do you see this with the Broncos and in the NFL this year at this point now?
The anthem, I don't believe is going to be an issue, because for the first time we had the commissioner meeting with players and the head
well,
of...
Now.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, it's so... You know, when people get together and they talk things through, you get a good result most of the time. You know, when you are one-sided with any parts of your conversation of arguments, I think it creates tension. So I'm happy that these different organizations that are involved in the same business have agreed to come together and talk about something as important to our society as this.
Here is Chris.
Yeah, I know they have something coming up soon. I've been getting emails about it, but I think right now, as the only thing I can speak of is what my team is doing, what the Denver Broncos is doing, and as of now, everybody's on the same page. Everybody that from talking to all the guys will be out there on the field standing, and we're going to work as a team and try not to have anybody doing their own thing this year.
Okay. All right, bongos.
Three!
We're going to try not to have anybody do their own thing this year. What does that mean?
They're going to be solid and have solidarity in their approach.
Okay. Not have anybody do their own thing this year. You know, I don't think there's a lot of drama with the Broncos, Alfred, to be quite honest with you. I think there's a lot of drama with this issue in other places. But with the Broncos, it's pretty minimal. Not that big of a deal. Meanwhile, what about expectations for on the field? We'll get there next.
It's The Drive with Big Al and D-Mac on Sports Radio 104.3 The Fan.
You want to talk about DT and Chris Harris from today, or
I'd love me some Chris Harris, man.
Yeah. Are they both captains this year, DT and Chris Harris?
I think Chris Harris will be.
This is DT's ninth year with the Broncos. Isn't that crazy? It's DT on leadership.
It's basically, I think it's doing, you know, everything at my best of my ability the right way. That's being on time, you know, being a perfect example for, you know, younger guys, even the veteran guys, is being on time, being early, practicing hard, you know, doing whatever I got to do for the, you know, guy next to me.
Yeah, you know what fine. I heard when I heard that?
What's that?
He's been late a lot. Or somebody's been late a lot. Because when you say
Being
on time.
If you're late, of course, you know, if it's an emergency. Oh, do I not have my Emmanuel Sanders sound? Oh, where's my Emmanuel Sanders sound, Big Sexy? Oh, no, I need
they
that.
They take it from you?
They did take it from me. No, it's not. What page is it on?
It's on page 3.
Page what?
It's on the back page.
I need it. Okay, yeah. Sorry.
What's the rule in driving in between a double yellow?
Well, I'm going to tell you right now, straight up, you're both going to get a ticket. You can't drive in the double yellows. You're both going to get a ticket for careless driving.
Well, so, what was it created for? Emergency, right?
Boom. Yeah. My emergency is that I had to get to work because I was running a little late.
That's right. There was a bit of a salty back and forth today with our friend Eric Goodman and VJ.
About what?
Well, here, we're going to play it here.
Vance, at the end of last season, you say you needed to do a better job of coaching the coaches. Can you give us a specific example heading into this season where you have done a better job of coaching the coaches?
Again, I'll say this, guys. Last year was last year, okay? We've all gotten better from last year. Okay, if last year didn't happen, we wouldn't have the quarterback that we have probably right now, you know, or the roster we have. So things happen for a reason. I'm not going to go back to last year.
Okay. No, I'm not asking you to go
but
back
excited,
to last year.
I'm excited about our football team right now. And as far as me doing my job, okay, obviously I'll do it better this year. from the experience I had last year.
But what have you done to coach the coaches better?
Lots of things, okay? And it's really private.
Shut up! I've done lots of stuff. Listen, I mean, Eric's a good dude. I like Eric, but he definitely, you know, it's every question's like a White House investigation, you know, like Watergate. You know, it's like, hey, I mean, we get it. What'd you do? I mean, I asked him more or less. I said, well, you know, what'd you do? He said, I read a book, amongst other things.
Well, you asked him, did he do any reading, yeah, any trips?
Yeah.
But you suggested.
I mean, it's the same question that Eric was more or less asking.
It sounded a different tone, though.
Yeah, because I wasn't trying to.
He was in front
of a congressional committee with me.
I tell you what, I try to explain this to people that have never played in the NFL, and I'll explain it again to you today. You don't know what the first year in the NFL is like as a player. You have no idea. If you played college football, you played high school football, and you are in pro football for the first year, you have no idea about what it is. And as a head coach, I would imagine some of those things ring true as well. Now, don't forget, as great as Mike Shanahan was with the Denver Broncos, it didn't really work out his first time around with the Raiders. There are growing pains. Remember how Kyle Shanahan himself out in San Francisco last year went for it on fourth down, and we, you know, all the things that we said that we would do if we were the head coach, he actually did them. And it didn't work out. It almost backfired against him. And the fan base out there didn't like it. And, you know, they let him know about it. He became a more conservative coach. And, you know, but it's you know, when you are a first time coach, there are a lot of things that you are learning for the first time. And I'm not trying to make any excuses for my friend, but there is no way in the world you can know all the things that you need to know. But I can guarantee the one thing that he did take away from that experience last year is that he will never have another coach or give another coach the ability to run roughshod the way that Mike McCoy did last year.
Fair enough. I mean, listen, even Elway said last year was like drinking from a fire hose, kind of. If you had a title, you could title it Drinking from a Fire Hose, the 2017 Denver Broncos.
You know, but you felt like we had two head coaches almost, you know, knowing that Mike McCoy was fired unceremoniously there with the Chargers, came over here as to be the offensive coordinator, and then you had Vance Joseph, who was basically responsible for the defense. You know, at least that's where his expertise was, because he didn't have really any input on the offense. So those things have changed. If Eric Goodman wants to know, how about that one? Hey, listen, when I say that we need to stop throwing the football, if we don't stop throwing the football, you're going to get fired, and I'm going to kick you out of here and get somebody else in here who's going to do the things the way that I asked him to do it.
Yeah, I appreciate Eric's question, and I respect Vance's, you know, reluctance to go into the, you know, every little specific he did. So it's all good for me. You know, when you drink from a fire hose, it's all a bit too much. You know, I've said it a million times. As you get older and more experienced in a job, you learn what you don't have to do.
But he's built the right way. And you know what? Every time you say that, it just brings me back to a statement that was made by one of my best friends in my life, CJ. And, you know, back in the day when I was playing for the Broncos, it was a lot of stress to do a lot of things. You know, since you went to school here, you had so many teammates here, you had different business relationships, and then there are different people that are out there pulling at you. And he gave me the best advice I think I've ever gotten from a friend. He said to me, it's not always about what you do. Sometimes it's about the things that you don't do.
That's right. Don't waste your time.
Don't, you know, hey, listen, you don't have to do it. So don't feel like you have to do anything. Just be you.
And I'll
your statement goes hand in hand with my statement as good advice just to take.
For anybody, frankly. But it's hard to understand that until you actually go through it.
Right. I mean, you don't have to take every question.
Well, that's right.
You know,
that's, and maybe, hey, there you go.
You know, I don't have to take that.
I don't have to answer your question.
I mean, as a matter of fact, the thing that has been the leading story around early training camp has been Bill Belichick not willing to answer questions about Malcolm Butler not playing in the Super Bowl last year.
Well, the way Belichick, Vance's answer is Belichickian, meaning that anything that's happened in the past is completely irrelevant. And Belichick, I've talked to Belichick on conference calls and in Super Bowls more than any other coach aside from Broncos coaches. I get it. I see what he does. You know, he simply is always moving forward. The end. No matter what it is. So he's not reflective hardly at all about anything during the season. He's a little bit more open at Super Bowls. It's a more reflective sort of time. But everything about Bill Belichick is the next day. Well, if you're only about the next day, Alfred, as a coach, then that kind of simplifies things, right? I mean, you don't have to worry about last year or what happened then. It's just like, well, we're just planning tomorrow.
Right.
All I'm
right.
doing is planning. You know, what have you done to coach the coaches better? Well, you'll see tomorrow when I get out there. Tomorrow will be the day that I coach the coaches. Either you'll see it or you won't, but it'll be on the field tomorrow. So what Belichick has done is he's really minimized his exposure to go
nonsensical questions about how he's handling the business.
Sometimes it's a bit ridiculous. Like he'll be asked by you're playing the Patriots, and he'll be asked like, what has Tom Brady meant for you in terms of your time as a coach? He won't answer that. He'll just be like, we're just getting ready for the
Tom's been a great player for us.
Tom's doing a good job getting ready this week.
Yeah.
He won't even go anything beyond that.
Yeah. He's been a great player and we're getting ready for a new opponent this week.
That's right. And there's a lot to actually be learned in that because you don't have to waste your time, energy, effort into anything else.
Yeah, I mean, the input and the access that you want as a fan base is not always granted to you by sports organizations. The sports organizations that are tight-lipped and don't give you much information, you know, have a great track record of winning. I can think of another one while we're down that line, the San Antonio Spurs. Don't say much about nothing. You know, they were the inventors of this. We're going to just not play our best players on back-to-back nights. And people didn't like it, but guess what? They kept on continuing to play for championships. And you don't understand the methodology from the head coaches all the time, but you better understand that there is a quiet confidence that rolls in the truly great coaches where they don't have to give you extravagant answers because they understand what's going on. And I'm glad to see that Vance Joseph has taken that step where he doesn't have to answer the questions that make him feel uncomfortable or that he doesn't want to answer. I mean, it's been part, you know, John Fox was the greatest guy in Denver Bronco head football coach history to not answer. Now, you would throw a question out at him and he'd give you some response about something else and, you know, you just don't just flop it out there, you know. You're just, you know, I mean, just, and you know, you couldn't get him to come. Well, you know, who's going to be the starting quarterback? We're working on some
flop
things.
Flop it out there and perform like that.
We're working on some things. You know, thanks, guys coach. Are competing, and we're going to see as the season. Gary Kubiak, the most honest coach I think I've ever seen in my life. The only other guy that rivals him in Denver history is George Karl.
All right, we got to take a quick break, get back to football at 4. But I think what you're saying rings true. And perhaps this is something VJ's learned. And he's not going to give you details, but he does reveal that he's studying great coaches and he's open to learning. And that's all good news. And there's nothing wrong with thinking deeply, but speaking briefly. Unless you do a talk show, and that's going to be really boring. Football at 4 is next.